has been in this series called Weirdo. And he's been talking about how, you know, we are to be a weirdo for Christ, how we are to not try to fit in with the rest of the world, but be willing to stand out and be willing to be set aside and be different from everything that the culture is telling us that we should be like. And he even talked about how the Muppet Gonzo, he talked about how Gonzo was the weirdest of all of the Muppets. And for a while, he didn't like being the weirdo. He wanted to be like the other Muppets. So he tried to look like Miss Piggy, and he tried to paint himself to look like Kermit the Frog. And he only, in all this, his attempts of trying to be like everyone else, he realized he was just looking more and more foolish. And so then by the end, he realized that he just needed to embrace his weird self. And so that's what we pastor been talking. He's talking about how you can win being a weirdo. But today, as we close out this series, I want to focus on something. If I had to title this message would be called Proper Alignment. Proper Alignment, because here's the thing. In order for us to be holy, In order for us to be a weirdo for Christ, the first thing that I realized, it requires us to be properly aligned with Christ, properly aligned with our lives, with his word, our will, with his will. It requires us to be aligned with Christ. Now, if I could be honest with you all, I've not always been in proper alignment with God. There's been times where God had told me to do one thing and I knew it was right, but I chose to do the wrong thing. It's been times where I have not, if I've told you that I've always crossed every T and dotted every I, that would be far from the truth. That would be far from the truth. It's been times where I just wanted to do my own thing, but guess what? Because I thought that my way was better. God had one way for me, but it was times where I thought that my way was better. And you know what I realized? All those times where I was out of proper alignment with Christ, when I was doing my own thing, I always realized that every time it cost me more harm than it did good. I always tend to suffer more when I was doing my own thing and taking my life into my own hands instead of trusting it in the Savior. And what I realized while I was preparing for this message, I was trying to think of some illustrations. I was like, what's some cool illustrations? But what I started to think about was how we are when we're not properly aligned with Christ, the consequences are similar to when we drive too long with our car not in proper alignment. And as I was doing some research, I realized one of the first things that happens when you drive too long, when your car is not properly aligned, is that it negatively affects your gas mileage. Now, I don't know about y'all, but with these gas prices, I ain't got time for me to be wasting gas. I mean, gas is high enough. I ain't got time to be wasting gas quicker than I need to, right? Amen? Anybody else saying? But what happens is when you're driving your car too long, it burns your gas faster. And I was just thinking about how we are with Christ. When we're out of proper alignment with Christ, we can be grabbing and putting all of our energy into something. And we can be doing everything within our power to try to make that dream come true or try to achieve that goal. And sometimes it feels like we're just running in circles and we're not getting anywhere. It's probably because we're not in proper alignment. Another thing that I realized about a car and how it's similar to us is when the car is not properly aligned, when you're driving the car, it tends to want to veer off the designated path that the car was designed to go into, right? And don't that sound like a lot of us? God has planned us a path. He said, this path is the path that's going to lead you to where I called you to be. It's going to lead you to your destiny. But sometimes we'll be in that car and God's taking too long. And you know what? And then we'll start veering off of that path. And that's how we know that we're not properly aligned. We get off of the track that God has already planned for us. And then the next thing that I realized, that happens when you're not properly aligned, when you're driving your car too long, is the tread on your tire begins to wear unevenly. They begin to wear out. quicker, and you end up spending more money and costing you more because you're driving so long and it's wearing your tires down and you're burning up new tires instead of getting your car in line. You see, this is what we do. This is what we do. We say, oh, man, I got a little more time. Oh, I can do that tomorrow. Oh, I'll do that next week. And see, me, I'm speaking from personal experience because, hey, Dave, hey, put that picture up for me. Check that out. Now, this picture, now I know I should be ashamed of myself. This picture, this is a tire that came off my truck not too long ago. And check this out. That came from me driving my truck, so obviously a long time, out of proper alignment. And here's the thing. I knew that my truck needed a four-wheel alignment. I knew, but isn't it human nature for us to say, I can do that tomorrow. I get to it. See, because I knew I needed an alignment, but because the wear was mainly on the inside of the car, I couldn't see just how bad it was. See, a lot of times we hold off getting properly aligned with Christ because, and we say, oh, I'm going to go up to the altar call tomorrow, or I'm going to get connected with this church tomorrow, or I'm going to do this next week, because a lot of times we're doing our own thing and we don't realize how bad it really is. When I finally got some sense, right? And I went and got a line, I got some new tires. The dude took the tire off. That's why I had to take a picture of it. The dude took a tire off. He said, oh my goodness, I can't believe that you've been riding around. Do you know that these tires could have blown out on you at any second, causing a fatal accident? And the funny thing is, I took this picture. I never showed my wife this picture. She's seen it for the first time for y'all. Because I already know what she's thinking. I don't even have to. She don't even have to say it. I can't. Look, Milton. That's how she say my name when she's mad at me. She pronounced every syllable in my Milton. I can't believe you, Milton. I can't believe that you will risk your life just for a couple of dollars. See, I'm cheap. That's why it really took me a long time to go get it. I'm cheap. I can't believe for a couple of dollars, Milton, you will risk your life. And then here's the big thing. My life is one thing. But you've been driving my baby around in that truck, risking my baby's life. And guess what? I believe God is saying the same thing when he's looking at some of our lives. I believe he's coming up and he's saying, I can't believe that you are willing to risk your life being out of a proper alignment with me for so long. I can't believe that you're putting off one more day to get aligned with me. Don't you know that catastrophic consequences can happen when you're out of line with me? Proper alignment. Now, I know some of y'all in here, you saying, okay, all right, I feel you with the proper alignment, being properly aligned with Christ. You saying a lot, but I ain't heard no Bible yet. Let me give it to you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And we're going to find out what God has to say. Because, see, God gives us some principles of proper alignment. He says if we're going to be properly aligned with him, it's some things that we must do. It's some things that must happen for us to be properly aligned with him. And it's found in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We're picking up at verse 34. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen. You can follow along. Verse 34, it says, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What have you given in exchange for your soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. All right, now here in this text, I believe before I give you these I have three principles that I believe that we must do to be properly aligned with God. But before we get into this text, I have one main thing, one main point that if you get this main point and you miss the somehow you miss the other three principles, you'll have the basis, the whole concept of this message in this one sentence. As a matter of fact, this if you a note taker, you want to write this sentence down. If you like to tweet, you're a new generation, you tweet. This is a tweetable moment right here. This is... My main point for today, the main thing that I believe that God wants us to know is this. To be aligned with Christ, you must be willing to lose your life. See, I don't know how this is going to go. Now, y'all losing my life. Hold on. To be aligned with Christ, you must be willing to lose your life. And like I said, I believe in this text, God has given us three principles of proper alignment. And the first principle is found in verse 34. And the first principle is that we must embrace the uncomfortable. We must embrace the uncomfortable. He says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But before we go into that, let me point out something that stuck out to me as I was reading this. He says, he starts off this verse in this story by saying, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, then he gave them the principles. Now, this stood out to me because, check this out, you got to know what happened early in the chapter. Jesus just performed two major miracles. He fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. Now, how you do now? You're talking about making something stretch. 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. Then he healed a blind man, made him see. So I'm thinking about this. I'm like, at this point, they're seeing Jesus do all this miraculous things, and he's gathering followers along the way. He's gathering all these followers. If this, he would shut Instagram down with how many followers he had if this was in today's time. Jesus would have all these followers, including his disciples, who was his right-hand man, right-hand men. They were his followers. But right before he gives the principles to be properly aligned with him, he still felt the need to say to everybody, if you truly want to follow me, if you truly want to be aligned with me, this is what you must do. See, because even though a lot of people was out there physically following Jesus, Jesus understood that everybody that shows up in the camp is not his true follower. Jesus understands that some of us only follow him because of the benefits that we feel that we can receive from him. See, we think that we're going to get a fish sandwich or something like that, and that's the only reason why we're going to follow him. A lot of us think that the only reason why a lot of us follow him is because Big Mama used to say that you're a Christian, so you're a Christian. A lot of us follow him because we're scared of going to hell more than we care about loving Christ. God doesn't want you to be his follower because you're afraid of going to hell more. He wants you to be his follower because how much he loves you and what he did for you on the cross and that he cares about you so much. He wants you to know about the love that he has for you, and that's why he wants you to follow him. But he gives some principles. He gives some principles. And like I said, the first one he says, to embrace the uncomfortable. Now, why do I say this is uncomfortable? Because he tells us to deny ourselves. And if we can be real, denying ourselves is never an easy thing to do. Never an easy thing to do. Sometimes it hurts and it's uncomfortable to give up our desires and exchange them for Christ's desires. See, sometimes it's uncomfortable to put to death the things that are good to us but not always are good for us. See, it's uncomfortable to let that relationship die that God has been telling you is not going anywhere for years. He's been saying, yeah, you've been with this joker for 8 years, and he still ain't put a stamp of approval on it. He still haven't made it official, and he's been telling you, let it die. But you know what? We stay there because we're comfortable. We don't know what's on the outside. We don't know if we get rid of this joker. We don't know if God's going to supply. You know what I'm saying? So we stay, even though it's not good for us, we stay there because it's good to us. It's comfortable. See, it's uncomfortable to deny ourselves of the music and the videos and the stuff that we listen to that the world tells us is hot and that we should be feeding our souls with. But it's not good for us. It's uncomfortable for those of us who are married. We have become such a me first culture, such a me first. It's all about me. It's uncomfortable even to die to our own selfish ambitions for the sake of our spouses. We're called to die for that other person. But because it's all about us, it gets uncomfortable. Jesus is calling us here to embrace the uncomfortable. But how far is this from the world's position today? See, we don't want to experience, let alone embrace, anything that makes us uncomfortable today. We don't want, well, in fact, we follow the doctrine to do whatever makes you feel good. Denying ourselves, never. If anything, the culture tells us that we should overindulge ourselves. We should feed, and we should be searching for the spotlight. We should be searching for the fame. We should be trying to get all the money that we can get. Anything more, more, more. We have become a culture of more. Give me more. But Jesus is saying, no, deny yourself. He wants us to embrace the uncomfortable, and for good reason. He's not just telling you he wants you to be uncomfortable so you can be walking around with a bit of beer face all day. He's not just saying he. The reason why Jesus wants you to embrace the uncomfortable, check it out. Think about it like this. I was going through some back problems, right? I had a lower back problem. See, because in my job, I sit down in a car for long periods of time. And I had some back injuries. And while I was at the physical therapist for my ankle, I asked him about my back. And he examined me, looked at me. And he was like, okay, let me see how you sit. And he noticed that while I was sitting, I had poor posture. And I was bending that. He said, it's your posture that's making you not allowing you to be properly aligned. He said, the muscles in your back are weak because of the way that you're sitting, the posture that you're in. So he said, this is what I want you to do. When you go back to work and you get back in the car, the newer cars today have a button where it's called a lower lumbar support button, where you can push that button and it'll push the bottom of your seat out. And it'll push your button and support your lower back. And he said, check this out. It's going to be uncomfortable at first. But if you do it long enough, eventually it will get your body back in proper alignment and you'll be better for it. And so I said, all right, bet. So I went, I did it. I pushed the button all the way out and I sat there. I was like, oh, you know, it had me sitting straight up just like this, right? And it was so uncomfortable. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is just about 15 minutes went by. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather just go back to the hurt back. And I went back to what was comfortable. It wasn't good for me. It was causing me pain. But because I didn't like that first discomfort from getting back in proper alignment, I stayed what was doing me more harm. And after it wasn't getting better, I just said, okay, I broke down. I finally said, I'm going to listen to the doctor. I'm going to listen to the professional who knows what he's talking about. So I put a couple of days went by and I set the support, and it was uncomfortable at first. But as the days went by, I noticed that my back was getting a little stronger, and I was able to stand a little taller, and I was able to walk the right way and be able to have strength in my back. And I believe that God's saying the same thing for us. Yeah, it may be a little uncomfortable at first, but the longer you stay in that discomfort, the uncomfortable feeling is grooming you and strengthening you to be able to be a strong Christian as you walk out this walk with me. He goes on in the second part of this verse, he says, Jesus equates denying ourselves with taking up our cross. Now, I love that. Denying ourselves with taking up our cross. See, the thing about it, the people of Jesus' day knew what the cross meant. See, we've done a good job of sanitizing the cross, making it the cross was never meant for religious ceremonies or religious spiritual traditions. That was not the meaning of the cross. The people in Jesus' time knew when he said, take up your cross, it means death. The cross was an unrelenting instrument of death. Jesus basically was saying, all of the things that I want you to deny of yourself for my will, your will I want you to deny, I want you to nail it to the cross and let it die. Let it die. He wants you to let it die. See, today we put crosses on our bodies and get it tatted, and we put crosses in the church and wear crosses around our neck and all of those type of things. And we do it to pay homage to Jesus, to celebrate him for what he did for us on the cross. But Jesus never asked us to use the cross to pay homage to him. He told us to take up our cross, to put to death all of the things in our lives that does not align up properly with him. The cross. He's saying that we must die We have a lot of Christians today in this culture, especially in America, who claim that they want to go to heaven, but nobody's willing to die. To be aligned with Christ, you must be willing to lose your life. All right, the second thing that he point, principle of proper alignment with Christ is found in verse 35, and that is to unhand your life. Check out what verse 35 says. It says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it." Here, he's saying, unhand your life. That means take your hands off the steering wheel. You're not the driver in this car. He's saying, get in the passenger. Let him control. Get your hands off your life. For some reason, we think that our plans and our desires are better than what God has for our lives. See, this verse is all about trusting the Creator with your life. Oftentimes, we get so caught up in attaining the material things of this world and trying to achieve and move forward and grab onto all of these things that will never last, that we get out of proper alignment with God. And especially when we feel that He's not moving fast enough. But this is what I want you all to understand today, that nothing we can manufacture on our own could ever be better than what God has purposed for your life. See, and Satan, he's tricky. See, the trick that Satan uses to get us to get out of proper alignment with Christ is that he only shows us the good side of going after our own desires and never the consequences. He only shows us the good side of getting drunk and getting high all the time, but he doesn't show you the consequences of how people lose their life savings and how they lose their family. He only shows the good side of doing the things that God has called you not to do. And the reason why he does this is, Satan wants you to focus on the earthly things instead of eternal things. Because he knows that if he can get you to chase after your own desires, if he can pull you out of proper alignment with Christ, he knows that you will be exposed, no longer covered by Christ, and that will make it easier for him to attack and destroy your destiny. He wants to pull you out of alignment with Christ so he can expose you. So then the shots can be fired and they can contact. Matter of fact, I need a big dude. Somebody bigger than me. One of the deacons. Hey, Deacon White. Come on, Deacon White. Come on. Hey, look. Come up here. All right. Hey, say what's up, Deacon White. Deacon White is going to be our Christ today. This is Christ. So this is what it's supposed to look like when you're in line with Christ. Christ is here. He's swole. He's swollen and everything. When we're in line with Christ, this is how we should look to the outside world. When we align with Christ, people should not be able to see us, but they should be able to see the Christ that has us covered. See, there's benefits to being aligned with Christ. When you're aligned with Christ, people may send shots your way. I didn't say shots won't come your way, but guess what? You have a person who is blocking it. Y'all heard the song that say, God blocked it. When you're alone with Christ, the shots may come, but he has you covered. He has you covered. See, but the problem comes in is when we rocking. You know, when you first getting in this thing, you rocking with Christ. You're like, oh, yeah, I love Jesus. Praise him. But then the problem comes in when we start getting impatient. We start seeing people achieve things. Dang, I've been trying to do this. He ain't even living with God, and look what he got. You know what I mean? We start looking outside of the path that Christ has us covered on. And what begins to happen is Satan is standing over there because he knows he want to pull you. He's saying, come on, you want this job? Come on. Come on over here. Yeah. And before you know it, inch by inch, we're moving out of alignment with Christ. Out of alignment with Christ, chasing after our own desires, chasing after our own needs and everything that we want. And we're moving further and further away from Christ. Now look what happens. You know what? I'm going to even take it to the next level. This is what we do. Let's bring this around like this. Oh, wait a minute. This is what we do. when we start looking at our own desires and we say, if I only had that degree, if I only got that master's, I'll be good. God taking too long, so let me go do it on my own. If I only got that car, you know what I mean, that car, you know, if I had that car, the ladies, you know, if I only had that car, you know, maybe the girls will like me more. Their profession. Here, I always thought that it was my destiny to play football professionally. That's what I thought my profession was. And I put everything that I had into chasing after this profession. God was calling me down a different road. He was calling me to do something much greater. But at the time, sometimes we hold on to the things that we think, oh, this got to be my destiny. This got to be is what for me. So we'll step out of proper alignment with Christ and hold on to these things. A lot of them, that relationship that we're hoping to get to this point. We say, oh, next year he's going to marry me. Next year, we're going to get married for real. Now, I ain't talking about this couple because this couple's the bomb. If y'all, this couple got it going on. Don't get it twisted up in here. This couple got it going on. But I'm saying we'll get so chasing after that relationship. If we can, if he'll just marry me, it'll validate me. If I can just get this woman, I'll be much better. My life would be better. If I get that house, money, if I can just get the money. Any means that, working with teenagers, here's the thing. You ask a teenager what they want to do when they get older. Most of them say, get money. What does that mean? Get money. But the devil, he'll say, yeah, I got that money for you. Yeah, I ain't going to tell you what you need to do to get the money. I ain't going to tell you the cost, but I got that money for you. And before you know it, the scripture goes on to say, for what will it profit if a man gains the whole world and lose his soul? Before you know it, you sitting here with the whole world in your hands and you wonder why you're still miserable. You wonder why you still want to commit suicide. You wonder why you're still depressed. You wonder why you can't get ahead in life. You wonder why everything is still going wrong. We look at these stars and these famous people and we say, if I just had that money, do you understand that they killing themselves too? If money and fame and power ever did the trick, dang, I tell you, and we'll sit here with all of this stuff in our hands, and this is the position Satan wants us in. So concerned in all of these earthly things that's going to pass away, and we don't even realize how far we got away from Christ. Now look, our hands are full. We don't have a covering. It's open season. This is the point where he destroys your destiny. This is the point where he destroys your life. God is calling us to forget about all of these things. It's not that these things are bad by themselves, but he said when you get it from outside of the cover of my proper alignment, it's detrimental to your destiny. Thanks. Give it up for Deacon White. Give it up for Deacon White. Give it up for Deacon White. I like how it says, what would a man exchange for his own soul? He's talking eternal here. You'll be surprised what people are willing to give up for 40 or 50 years in exchange for eternity. Is anything worth your soul? Is anything worth your eternity? Anything, a car, house, family, anything. Worth you getting out of line, a proper alignment with God and losing your eternity. The final thing, I got to go, I'm running out of time. The third principle of proper alignment is found in verse 38, and that is to be unashamed. Be unashamed. Let's see what verse 38 says. It says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. Here he's saying that we can't be ashamed to rep our God. This series has been about being a weirdo and stepping out of the box, but a lot of us, if we are honest, we're ashamed. We're scared to be that weirdo. We are scared to be afraid to rep God. See, we become a culture of Christians where we put God in a box. And we determine when we're going to take God out of that box. Oh, nope, I'm at work. He doesn't belong here. Come on, God. Oh, I'm at school. Oh, no, he don't belong here. Oh, I'm out with my friends. He don't belong here. I'm in church. This is where he belongs. Okay, yeah, I'm going to leave him right here in church because, you know, I go there on Sundays sometimes. But, yeah, we anytime that we don't take Christ everywhere we go, he's saying that you're being ashamed of me. He's saying it may be somebody in that school that I'm purposely sending you there to tell them about me, but because you won't open your mouth and you're ashamed of what they're going to think about you, you letting it that moment pass. He's saying we can't be ashamed. Check this out. He said if we're ashamed of him, guess what? When he come back and he got it all going, he all glory, and he got everything going, and he gathering up his squad. You know what I mean? He's squatting up. He getting up his people. Everybody who wasn't ashamed, who was willing to die for him. He said, a lot of us are going to be trying to get in line. Yeah, yeah, Jesus. Ain't going, hold up, bro. Nah. Remember when you was ashamed of me when I told you to tell so-and-so about me, and then they went out the next day and they died and they didn't know about me? I put that on you because I sent you right there. You was ashamed of me. Back then, I could see Jesus sometimes. No, this is my own word. I could see Jesus probably when he coming back. He probably, in the great words of the theologian Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones. Hey, if you're under 30, get with somebody under 35. They'll tell you what that means. I could see Jesus probably saying to some people who is ashamed of him now when he comes back. Nah, back then, you didn't know me. Now I'm hot. You all know me. Nah, chill. Hey, look, I just see Jesus, you know what I mean? That's what he's saying. He's saying, if you're ashamed of me now, I'm going to be ashamed of you later. And just a great story to really illustrate this point is, like I said, it's been a year for Ablaze. It's been a year in our children's ministry since I've been here. But Ablaze, which is our teen ministry, hasn't even been going for a year. It's really been like 6 months. But the thing is, to see the growth of our teenagers, to see the growth of how when we first got here, they didn't even want to talk to each other, but now they can't wait to hang around each other. To see the growth where they was a little nervous to pray, but now, oh, I tell you, I say, y'all missing the spot, the praise right there. And check this out. Teenagers alone are weird individuals. They're weird. They think differently. They view life differently. And a lot, oftentimes, they're looked down on, and they counted out, and people are willing to discard them. They're disrespectful. I can't deal with teenagers, and we're willing to throw them aside. But check this out. Our goal here at this church is to create a youth ministry where the youth are doing the ministry. The youth are getting to a point where they're in the shame. They don't care what you think about them. They don't care. And this is the thing I learned about young people. If you get them to buy in, they don't care about anything. They'll be unashamed, but they have to buy in first. And to see our young people buying in, and what really blew my mind is I said, okay, eventually the vision is for our young people, somebody, at least one person, to say, you know what, I'm ready to preach a message. I'm ready to give the word. And for me, I'm like, okay, that's a couple of years down the line. You know, we're going to keep discipling, and hopefully one day. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were in our VBS planning mode, and we invited some of the young people in to give us their ideas because it's for them. And as we putting together, I'm saying, okay, this is the guest speaker for this night, this is the speaker for this night. We had two young ladies who said, hey, you know what would be good? How about you let us speak? See, y'all. And look, if you knew what the teenagers had to go through on a daily basis, if you knew that the pressures to turn away from God, you would have just lost your mind right there. Matter of fact, Dave, put up that flyer, the impossible flyer. Look, the flyer started off with just these three. But right there in that moment, I said, we got to change the flyer. We got to change the flyer. Hey, look, we had two young ladies, Mary Fode and Gabrielle Coleman, who was willing to stand up and say, you know what? I've got something to say. God has put it inside of me, and I'm not going to hold it back any longer.
name. This is what God is calling us to be like. To be unashamed in every situation. I don't care what the circumstances look like. I don't care who's around, what environment is. If God gives me something, I'm going to share it. He's saying we can't be ashamed. We can't be ashamed. All right. Hey, look, I got one more thing, and then I got to go. The thing that really, the last illustration I wanted to give to really, wrap up this whole message, wrap up this weirdo series, is from an illustration that I got. Me and some of the other leaders in the church, we were reading a book called The Church That Never Sleeps. And it was a part in this book that really demonstrated to me what it looks like to be properly aligned with God. In the book, it talked about how it was an older man walking down the streets of Chicago on a cold winter's night. It was saying how it was Christmas time, and he was headed for the local mission. He wanted to get something to eat. It said he went into the mission to get something to eat, and once he was fed and he was satisfied, he left out of the chow hall, and he went back outside to the streets. But it said all of a sudden, when he got outside, he saw a sign in front of the mission thing that read, "What will you give to the king?" He said it was next to a trash can that was put out there for donations. And says that he saw the sign and he threw a quarter in there. And then he walked away. Said he didn't get too far away and he was still thinking about that question. What would you give to the king? So the homeless man, went back to the trash can and he took out all the rest of the coins that he had in his pocket and he threw it in the trash can. And then he walked away. And this time he got a good distance away. And that question was still had him perplexed. It was still in his mind. What would you give to the king? So it says he went back and he lifted his right leg up. And then he lifted his left leg up and he gave his whole self, his body, and put his whole body into the trash can saying, God, I'm willing. I don't care what I have. I don't care what materials I'm in. The best thing that I have to give you is me. This is what God wants. He wants us to surrender our lives to the king. See, I believe that this guy understood that being properly aligned with Christ was not about giving up certain areas of our lives here and there, but it was about giving up all of who you are and surrendering it to God. Because he can do better with all of you of who you are than we can do it within our own hands. And so what I want to do today, this is the application. I want you guys to think about that question for yourselves. Think of when you leave away from here. Ask yourself, what has Christ been calling you to let die on the cross for weeks now, for months now? But because it was so comfortable, because where he was calling you to was uncomfortable, you held tightly to it. It says whoever hangs on to his life, his desires will lose his life. God is saying, who is willing to die right now for him? What are you willing to give to the king? So here's the application. I want you to think about whatever it is that you feel that Christ has been calling you to let die. And I want you to write this question on the top of a piece of paper. What would you give to the king and write that thing right underneath of it? Put it somewhere where you can see it every day, maybe in the bathroom on the wall. Or maybe what you can do, I'll take it to the next level. If you already know it, because God has been telling you this for 4 months now. You can write it down on a piece of paper on the program and drop it inside this trash can and we'll pray for it after service. Wow, because here's the thing. You can't do this thing by yourself. A lot of times we get out of line because we're trying to do it by ourselves. We have men's ministry where you can get connected. And there's other men who are willing to, who stand in the gap with you and pray through your issues and pray through your things and talk it out with you and maybe going through the same things. We have women ministries that you can get connected with. If you're a teenager in here and you ain't a part of a Blaze, I'm going to tell you now, I could be biased, but you're missing out. Get connected. Don't try to do this thing on your own. Figure out what it is that God is calling you to let die. Declare today. And then get connected.
Stand up all over this place. Stand up.